I know I say this every message, but this probably right here is the message. It's a incredible part. It's all here. It's all in what we've heard. We just didn't see it. I didn't. I see it now. Praise God. And I think it's going to give us a lot of revelation concerning who we are, what exactly God has called us to do, and why we have not been able to birth hitherto. It's not because of faith. It kind of started floating through this week, and then it just crowned this week. I'll say this. I think we could go on praying for the next 100 years, and without this revelation, we would not birth. You can pray forever, but if we're not in the proper place, it's not going to happen. There's a situation here that God has called us into a very unique calling. I call this our constitution right here, or the apostolic king priest government. This constitution, we've been carrying it as the lampstand of Revelation chapter 4, Zechariah 4. This constitution lives in a realm that is to come. Now, I'm going to talk about two realms today. One where we're at and one where we're going. Amen. When the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church in Acts chapter 2, he poured out the early reign of what is termed our dispensation of the church. That early reign, we are part of that early reign. We have every part of it. We are entitled to every part of it. Health, wellness, wholeness, salvation, sozo, you name it, everything that Christ inherited on our behalf is for us now. Not waiting for anything, we can access it now in the presence of the Father. Don't need anything to happen, we can have it now. Amen? But there's something about this little lampstand that we're carrying that I didn't fully see until this week. Amen? So I want to take a little bit of journey into review. Then I'm going to get into the juice. Amen. We've been in a series called Time Habitation, or call it Alpha, Omega, Mega Jurisdiction. And we see this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John is writing, and there's greetings from the Godhead. And it says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, that is a whole person, him that is, the Father that was, and the Father what that is to come, Father that is to come. Moses knew the Father that was. When he asked to show his glory, he said, you cannot see my face and live by the way you operate. You're representing the law of Moses. You can't look into the next level, but I'll show you the glory of all the past. I'll let you see my hinder parts. Moses was 2,500 years from the book of Genesis, and he wrote all of it. God took him back 2,500 years and let him see the glory of it and wrote every detail. He had to live it, walk it. And then we saw John was transported 2,000 years into the future. So now we're looking at this God, the Father, who is to come. Now I understand why he gave us this revelation. Amen. And from Jesus Christ, and from the seven spirits of which before his throne, that's the Holy Spirit, and from Jesus Christ. So here you have the three, persons of the Trinity, him that was, is, and is to come. You have the Holy Spirit, or the seven spirits of God, and you have Jesus. So, and then the Lord, in verse 8, calls himself the Alpha and Omega. Never termed himself as the Alpha and Omega to the book of Revelation. It's because he's revealing the Omega. Amen? He said, the beginning and the end. Say, the beginning and end. And, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. I'm sure glad he's all three of those too. Because of the fact that he's all three of those, we can abide in him in all three places. Amen? All right. I want you to shift forward a minute to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. He says, after this I looked, after the unfolding revelation of seven churches, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was the voice of a trumpet talking with me, saying, come up hither, And here's your key. I will show you things which must be hereafter. There is an event that's going to take place in the final days. John's being given this as an early saint. Lord didn't come to him where he was and give this to him. He took John into this. John interacted, as we know, all through the book of Revelation. He wept, he spoke, he talked, he lived this whole book out. Amen? So now come up here, I'll show you things that are come hereafter. Things pertaining to the church age, the dispensation of the church age, and the dispensation of the seven-year tribulation. There is a shift coming, a dispensational shift, say dispensational shift, that requires an act of God from heaven for it to come into the earth. It's not just going to come, not until Revelation 5, you're not going to see the white horse run in Revelation 6. It's not going to release until that act takes place. Revelation 4, he sees this. Revelation 4, 5, and about half of chapter 6 all should have been one chapter. It should not have been broken in chapters. It's all one event. They're caught up in heaven. They see, John gets caught up, and he sees things that are to come. In an event that's going to take place, that's going to shift the church into what's called the latter rain dispensation, the final operation of the church age, and that's also going to shift into the seven-year tribulation after that. There's a dispensational shift required, say dispensational shift required for this to come into the earth. He sees this as the Father in chapter 5, he sees this book in the right hand of him that is to come in chapter 5. I saw in the right hand of him to come the throne, a book written within, and on the back side sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming, who is worthy to take the book? And John was weeping, they couldn't find, and all of a sudden the Lamb comes forth. And I want you to watch what's about to happen. What takes place here in chapter 5 must take place in order for chapter 6 to release. That white horse will not release. There is nothing about it that can release until chapter 5 takes place. Amen? Because it's a dispensational shift. It's not something like healing where we can access certain realms of God's healing and realms of God's glory that belong to where we're at. There's certain things belong to this next realm that cannot happen until this happens. Are you with me? Until the Lamb opens the book, all that you look at, all that you're wanting, cannot happen until that book is open. Amen. All right, verse 6. And behold, in the midst of the throne, and in the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb that had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. We've been through this a lot. He's actually crowned, which is the seven spirits of God, crowning him with a final dispensation of the church age. Seven horns is the perfection of the kingly anointing. Seven eyes is the perfection of the priestly anointing. He is crowned with the seven spirits of God that are listed in chapter 4 as the lampstand. But now it's a crown. Say it's a crown. Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God comes over him and he receives the crown, say the crown, for the final dispensation of the church age. He's the only one that's capable and qualified to open the book. All this is review. He took the book out of the right hand. So he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Now watch what happens. And when he had taken, well, it's just going to happen. Say it's just going to happen. Well, actually, it's going to require some earthly participation. Because obviously there is some earthly participation going on. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, now look, Lamb stands up, he receives the book. Now the four beasts, watch this, and the 420 elders, they all fall down at his feet. And they have bowls of incense, bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they're offering these prayers at his feet. And what's happening is there's a bridal company of people that are synced up with this heavenly operation, this heavenly act that's going to release the final dispensation of the church age and open the dispensation of the seven-year tribulation after that. But this one thing is going to open. Without this, we can prophesy, we can pray, we can fast, we can shout, you can dance, you can do whatever you want. It's not going to happen until this happens. These
elders presents,
they present this, these bowls full of prayers, and it becomes incense, and it connects with the Lamb that's about to open the book. Then watch what happens. All of a sudden, this incense gets released, and the elders begin singing. They are rejoicing. Now, a lot of people at this point think the seven-year tribulation is about to happen. Listen, they wouldn't be rejoicing at all of that. They are singing the song of the Lord, and they're saying the kings and priests will now reign in the earth. Notice, he said, when the seven eyes and the seven horns are the seven spirits of God that will be sent forth into all the earth. Waiting for the seven spirits of God. We're waiting. The church age is waiting for its final outpouring of the latter rain to be crowned. Saved to be crowned with the majestic glory of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. We're going to receive a forerunner crown. We're waiting on this event. But they're singing the song. The kings and priests will reign in the earth. And all the creatures in heaven and in earth, all everyone's rejoicing and everything's about to, and he takes the book out of the right hand, and all of a sudden in chapter 6 there's a noise of thunder, and he opens the book. And when he opens the book, the rider, the first rider comes out. The rider of the white horse. And he says, I saw when the Lamb opened the seal, I heard as was the noise of thunder. I'm saying all this for a reason. I heard there was a noise of thunder, and the four beasts come and see, and I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given. Say, a crown was given. And he went forth conquering to conquer. That same horse is prophesied out of Zechariah chapter 10. The glorious war horse has the same bow. The crown was given. That right there is the crowning of the church. That right there shifts the dispensation of where we are into the final dispensation. We're still in an age of grace, but it is the latter rain dispensation. And it's important to understand this point right here. It's a dispensational shift that requires an act of heaven for it to release into the earth. Until he opens that book, that's not happening. We all know that right now, right? We're looking into this. We're prophetic. We see it. We're not pathetic. We're prophetic. We see it. We're waiting on it. Amen. Praying into it. But this is where the issue comes from. God has given us this. He said, I want you to sync this up with what I'm doing in the earth. I said, well, I got that. We got all that. He goes, well, you have half of it. Now I'm talking to family right now. Y'all ready? I'm talking to those in the know. Go to Revelation chapter 3 for a minute. I'm like, why are we praying if we're waiting on you to do this? Anybody ever had that question? If you're just going to do it, and we know you have to do it for this dispensation to shift, then what are we doing? Why are we carrying this in the first place? Why are we praying the way we do? Why do we have to come up? Why do we have to resent? Why are we keeping? Why are we preaching all this? If we're all waiting for the book to open, which represents this pole, this is the second dispensation. All of you are in the dispensation here. Praise God. You're in good shape. If we're waiting for this to happen, well, what is our purpose in all this? Because here's what the Lord said. He goes, you're asking for something that's in another dispensation. Are you ready for this? He goes, what you're carrying is not in this dispensation. It's in one that is to come. And it requires an act of heaven for it to happen. You're asking for something that's in front of you. What am I going to do with that? Here's what he spoke to me. He says, you cannot, watch this, receive where you are a dispensation that's in front of you. You're not just asking for my will to be done. You're not just asking for something that's already been appropriated to you. You're asking for something that belongs in another dispensation that's earmarked by the Lamb opening the book. Until he opens the book, it cannot come. I'm like, well, then what are we doing? He goes, you're joining in to what I'm doing. But you cannot join in where you are. You have to join in where I am. See it? So he begins to speak to me about this. And he said, this crown there's a forerunner crown coming. How many of you heard me talk about a forerunner crown? The Lord spoke to me about this. He said, listen, there is a forerunner crown coming out. It's a necessity that that crown is proven into the earth. It's a necessity that that crown is established in its authority in the earth. Listen, God is going to crown the entire body of Christ. Or I'll say a good portion of the Church of Philadelphia is going to be crowned in this last hour. We already know this. It's going to be crowned with a distinct wealth transference as well. This is what the elders were doing in chapter 5. Said the kings and priests will reign in the earth. They knew when the Lamb opened that book, it was going to release the crown upon the rider. And the bridal company of kings and priests, Zechariah, called it the house of Joseph and the house of Judah. They were the riders of the glorious war horse. And they went forth gloriously, going forth conquering to conquer as that crown was given. Say it was given. Now, when God gave the crown from David to Solomon, he just didn't give the crown. Somebody paid the price for that crown. David paid the price for that crown. For every generation that crown lands, that crown has to be proven and established in that generation. David just didn't inherit the crown. David took Goliath down, which is original descendant of Anak. He took him down. He qualified. David was crowned in Mount Hebron. He conquered all six nations of his day. And then peace was in the land. He conquered mammon of his day. Peace came in the land. And when, by the time he handed the crown to Solomon, there was no more war to be had. He handed that freely to Solomon. Solomon inherited something David paid for. Amen? Solomon freely inherited. God also is going to release a crown in this hour freely. The body of Christ at whole is going to freely inherit something that somebody, someone, some group has to receive in the earth. The way the Lord showed it to me, said that crown needs to be received before it's released, which is what we've been after. Those of you know we were in the know, that crown has to be received in the earth. Notice this. Go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. To the angel of the church, the messenger. Who's he writing to? The messengers. Who's he opened the door for? The messengers. These things saith he that's holy, he that is true, he that hath the key to the house of David. He that openeth, no man shutteth. He that shutteth, no man open. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. Now, we know the church of Philadelphia receives the crown, because it actually says, behold, I come quick. He tells them, I know thy works. He goes, because you've kept my word, I'll keep you from the hour of tribulation coming on the earth. We know it's the last day, church. It's going to move right into the edge of the tribulation period. But he says, because you've kept my words, I'm going to keep you from the hour of tribulation coming on the whole earth. You're not going into that. Say, you're not going in. If you belong to the church of Philadelphia, you will be in the marriage supper of the Lamb by the time the 7-year tribulation comes. So, he says, let no man take your crown. A crown was given to the rider of the white horse, Revelations 2. A crown is given to this church. It's the only church spoken of all seven that a crown was actually given to in the earth. All the other ones were given afterwards. There's only one other church spoken of a crown that was given after death. If you're faithful to die to the end, I'll give you a crown in the afterlife. This one receives the crown on the earth. He says, be faithful. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Meaning you are on the edge of the final dispensation. You're a part of the final dispensation. I'm setting an open door for you to run in the final dispensation. You're going to run right up to the 7-year tribulation, but I'm going to spare you from that hour. Don't let any man take your crown during this time, because you are the one that's going to inherit and receive that crown. You are the church that will be crowned. I'm thinking, well, if the church is being crowned, why do you have to set an open door for them? Why don't they're waiting like everybody else is? Why do I need an open door for anything? Because I'm waiting for him. I'm waiting for you to do it. Why do I got to go through any door and do anything until you open the book? I'm just sitting waiting. Right? He has to open the book. Does he have to open the book? When he opens that book, when he opens that first seal, that marks the final dispensation of the church age. That white horse is the final dispensation of the church age. It is a separate dispensation to what we're in right now. It is the dispensation of the reigning of the kings and priests.
There will be major, massive earthly events take place from this. And we're waiting for this to happen. But God also must pre-crown some riders. Somebody has to receive it out of heaven. And here is the dilemma. I'm asking you to receive something that doesn't belong to your jurisdiction or your dispensation. I'm asking you to receive something that belongs to a dispensation that's in front of you. Not just a realm, not just a jurisdiction, but a dispensation. It requires an act of heaven. I'm like, well, how do I go in to do something after you? It requires an act of heaven. I'm waiting on you. He goes, no. I set before you an open door. To go where? To the house of David. For what? To receive the crown. Why? So it can be established like it's established in all the generations. It wasn't until Moses broke the back of Pharaoh that he asked for all the wealth of the Egyptians to be released. They weren't going to release those until Moses and his rod broke their back. David broke the back of Mammon. God crowned Solomon. God has to break the back of Mammon in this hour. For the crown, but the problem is our crown is in another dispensation. We have been dealing, my friends, with a dispensational issue the entire time. We've been dealing with a dispensational issue. Say dispensational issue. It ain't like God said, believe me for healing. Healing is available now. Blessings available now. Inheritance is available now. Anything Christ's inherit is available now, but the king priest government requires him to open the book. I have a dispensational issue that needs a lot of tissue. Because I can't just go walk up into something. Or can I? Can we walk in? Can you access something that doesn't belong to you? Has men been able to do it? Can faith transcend not just jurisdiction? Listen, I can break out of this jurisdiction and go up in the presence of the Father and pray to the presence of the Father that I can receive, but can I move into a post-jurisdiction that Christ hasn't even paid the price for yet? He hadn't even received the book yet. He hadn't opened the book yet, but God's requiring we receive a crown that's in front of Revelation chapter 5. You cannot stand here and receive this king-priest government when it exists beyond that wall. We can pray all day long. We're in the wrong place. Now that you see that, go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. But thou, because Jesus talked in King James, when thou prayest for the apostolic king priest government and the crowning of the church, when thou prayest for the crown, let's just read it like that. Enter into your inner sanctuary. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father that is in that secret place. And the Father that seeth you, will reward you openly. See that? And pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, if you're praying for anything other than post-Revelation chapter 5 stuff, God the Father can answer that. If you're praying for something that's past Revelation chapter 5, like Revelation 6, 2, a crown, there imposes a situation here. Because you're asking for something that's in a dispensation that's in front of you. You can't just go to the presence of the Father, and the Father seeth you in your dispensation and gives you something from another one. So when thou prayest, but a lot of you are much smarter than you know, praise God. When thou prayest for a crown that doesn't belong to you yet, enter into thy sanctuary, and thy Father, enter into the secret place of what? Him that is to come. Enter into what? This is the realm of him that is to come over here. Enter in to him that is to come, and the Father that is to come sees you in that dispensation. If he sees you in that dispensation, he can reward you with what you're praying for. If you're praying here, the Father can give it to you. Why? Because you're standing in the dispensation for which it belongs. If you're praying here, he can't go over like that. Do you get that? There is a jurisdictional, dispensational issue we have right here. And God said, this is why I've given you this information, this revelation. I'm like, well, can we go? Could Peter, James, and John go? Did they not enter into the final glory? Did they not enter into the majestic glory of the second coming of the Lord? Did not the two witnesses enter in? Did not the Lord Jesus himself enter into something that he hadn't even gone to the cross for yet? The Father not only took him to the cross, took him way past the cross and crowned him with his second coming glory and the transfiguration. You have to hear our message on that. Crowned him in it. They all were caught up in the Father of something that is in, that is to come, the same realm we're looking for. They were there. Which means that's our access point. You see that? That is a realm called the Father that is to come. We just have to identify exactly where that is. We have to go exactly past that point into that jurisdiction. Amen. The Lord dwelt there. The disciples dwelt there. The two witnesses dwelt there. God, from the beginning, has allowed men and women to transcend the very dispensations they were in and access something that did not belong to them yet and bring it in to where they are. Just because we're dealing with a dispensational barrier, there is something and go past. It's called faith. It can reach past the dispensational barrier because the Father cannot give me the crown sitting in this jurisdiction because it belongs to another one. I have to be in the presence of him that is to come to receive that which is to come. I can't be in the presence of him that is and receive that which is to come. I'm in the wrong place. I'm saying, Father, give it to me because I'm over here. What you're asking for me is in front of you, way in front. I can't take that through a dispensational barrier, but I can bring you through the dispensational barrier. I can't bring it through, but I can bring you through. And if I can bring you through, I can give it to you in the place that is to come. I know this is heavy, but I can bring it back to where I am. Mark 11 says, have faith in God. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive. When you pray, thy kingdom come, believe you receive. I'm asking for a crown. We're asking for a government that we have already marked, that we have seen, that we have prophetically. It's not enough to prophesy into it anymore. It has to be received. But we cannot receive it from where we are. Because it is an event that is to come, but God is asking us to go into that which is to come, receive that which is to come where you are. This is called the faith of Abraham. Say the faith of Abraham. This is what God's asking for. If we could have received it here, we already had it, don't you think? I've been dealing with a dispensational barrier that I didn't know I was dealing with. Now that I know we're dealing with, instead of having faith to move the mountains, I need faith to move through that veil. If you want to pray for anything, for me in this body, grant us faith to move through the veil, to dwell in him that is to come. The Lord said, I will that you be with me where I am. And we have to be with him in a very special place now. I pray that you be with me where I am in my Father that is to come. Will you be with me in a glory that I entered into before the cross? I entered into this place. Peter, James, and John entered into it. The two witnesses entered. They were there in glory. They entered into that position. They entered into the second coming glory, the kingly, majestic glory, the glory that's going to crown the church, the glory that every one of us and the church at large, I mean God's remnant body church, is all going to enter into this glory. I'm like, let's just wait for him to do that. He has to have someone prove the crown. That's why he said, I set before you an open door. Somebody, some group needs to go in first. Let's go in and get it and establish it. Because once it's received and authority is established, God's free to give it to all. And that in two is a mystery, praise God. I want you to go to Matthew 15. I want to show you something. Go to verse 22. See, when you believe, you receive. If I'm sitting there, Father, I believe I receive this government. I hold and keep your word. He's let me do that for years now. I receive this, Lord. And he's never said anything to me like this. Finally, he says, you can hold that for 100 years if you want to. But I cannot take that which is to come and bring it to where you are. But I can bring you into the place of that which is to come, like I did Peter, James, and John when they caught up in the glory, like the two witnesses. The Lord himself went into a post-cross glory before he ever even went to the cross. You see that? And if you can be brought into the position that is to come, and then there, in a jurisdiction for which it belongs, you can receive the crown freely. See that? Because this is where it lives. You can freely receive, and then you can bring it back. And it can begin its authority in the earth through what we call 7 days of light, which we're not going to get into right now. Praise God. Amen. Matthew 15, 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out on the same coast and cried out, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. He answered her not a word. His disciples besought him, saying, send her away. She crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's explaining to her that you are outside of my jurisdictional boundary to minister right now. Now, after the cross, all the children's bread will be made available to you. But right now, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're outside of that boundary. You're outside of the dispensation. You're asking for something for your daughter that belongs to the next dispensation. Now, he couldn't explain all that to her, but he's just trying to tell her, you're asking for something that's not in my wheelhouse right now to give you. Unless I can provoke your faith to reach past where you are. So the Lord knew he was going to have to provoke her to get her to reap. Because it wasn't going to be him, it was going to be her. Amen? And she came and worshiped like we normally, help me, help me. Then everyone can understand why the Lord did this. He insulted her for the purpose of getting her to activate. Because he knew she had to reach beyond the dispensation. Had he been post-cross, it hit her like that. Wasn't available to her. It only belonged to the people of the covenant at the point. Watch this. And he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Most people would have been insulted and walked away right there. They were like, oh my God, you are the savior of the world. You just called me a dog. Did you just do that? He insulted her to get her to reach. She said, truth, Lord, truth. But even the dogs, the crumb from the master's table, he said, you did it. You did it. Great is your faith. You just accessed something I could not give you at this point in time, but you accessed because you reached out in front into a dispensation and you got it. She reached over. You see that? Reached out. She grabbed something that belonged to a post-cross dispensation. She reached over the veil. Isn't that awesome? Glory to God. That is what God's asking for. Great faith. The kind of faith that can reach over the jurisdictional, dispensational boundary. That's what God's asking. All of these years, all of this revelation, all culminates into that one wall. I gotta get over and receive that crown. It doesn't matter if it's requiring an act of God in Revelation chapter 5. Jesus went past his own cross. In the Mount of Transfiguration, he went past his own cross. He went into our day and was crowned with the glory of our day, the second coming glory of the King. The majestic glory of the Father was on him. The same glory of Revelation chapter 5. He was wearing it 2,000 years ago. He went there. Peter, James, and John went there. The two witnesses went there. God is not bound by time. Neither is our faith. This is what God ultimately is asking of us. You want to know what is God requiring of this little church of the taco stand? I want you to receive the crown before the crown. And those of you that understand exactly what I'm saying right now, you have ears to hear. Why we have to receive the crown, because it has to be proven. 7 days of light. It just can't show up here. Got to go get it there. It's an operation of seven eyes of omnipresent omniscience and the seven horns of omnipotent dominion, executing 7 days of dominion over Mammon. Who art thou, O great mountain of Mammon? Before this crown, you will become leveled ground. God will crown his church in the last hour. The kings and priests will reign in the earth in the last hour. We have a very big, big, big assignment. There is a crown in the future that will definitely, because Revelation 3 says they will bow. And if God can bring that crown into the earth, he can make them bow. That's why it has to come in. That's why someone has to access it, because he wants the powers to bow. Go to Romans 4. When Peter said, I have a more sure word of prophecy. We've seen him. Not just in his resurrection. We've seen in his second coming of glory. We're talking to you about the second coming glory. We've seen his majestic glory. We're eyewitnesses of it. God took us there. We saw it. This is what God is doing. This is who we are. This is our final, final step. God is asking this little church with a taco stand to receive the crown. Whoever receives that crown, Mammon will bow. Mammon must bow. He needs to bring something in the earth that calls the power of Mammon to bow. Romans 4. This stuff is way beyond human capacity. In fact, it's against all hope in the natural. We have to believe in a heavenly hope. We have to stagger not at the promises of God. We have to have the faith of Abraham that can transcend the very generation and dispensation he lived in and received accounted righteousness. Abraham can do it. David can do it. Peter, James, and John can do it. We can do it. We have to do it. It is who we are. It is in the DNA of who we are. We can make it to the Father's love and the lily's grace. I'm quite certain we can just move through that little thin veil. Listen, God believes in us a whole lot more than we do. You have an open door. I will you be with me in the Father that is to come. When you pray, pray in the presence of him that is to come, and you will receive. He will reward you openly. Those are the revelations. God's calling us to be doers. Now you get a little idea of what Abraham was faced with. Abraham, give birth. My body's dead. Good. Sarah's body's dead. Better. Give birth. They weren't dead when he started. He had to wait till they're dead. Now, out of your loins, Abraham, you're in a good place. This is possible, God. He goes, I know. You can't do anything about it, can you? You don't get to use anything in your natural arsenal to fulfill my will. I'm like, sometimes my flesh screams, there's nothing in me that can do this. In the natural, I can't touch it, because I like to touch things in the natural, and God knew that. So he gives something that's outside of what I can do. I'm like, I can't touch any of this. I can see it, but I don't get to do this. I am a doer, God. He goes, I know. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? You're an alpha dog doer. Except the alpha dog doesn't get to do any of this. There's only one part of you that gets to work, and that's faith. No other part. Amen. Romans 4:1. What shall we say that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh had found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now unto him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. What does all this mean? Because it says David also describes this blessedness. I'll explain this to you. David also describes the blessedness of the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Okay. Would you like to know the interpretation of that? Both Abraham and David, as strong and most powerful they were both born spiritually dead. They had a dead nature. They are not born in the dispensation you're born in. They didn't have a righteous nature you were born in. When the word of God would light them up, it would also light up their capacities. When God would say, thou shall not, what would happen is their nature would rise against that. Said, this is who I am. This is what I do. I have a fallen nature. We have a new one. We still wear a body of flesh, but we have a new nature. Our core is not sin. Our core is righteousness. Their core was not. Their core, man, was sin, but God came into covenant with them. But what happened is they were looking into our dispensation, both of them. Blessed is the man who God forgiveth iniquity, doesn't count the nature against them. Blessed is the man that God, even though I wear the nature, blessed is the man who God does not count that nature against them. I wear a nature I can't get out of. 1,000 years of keeping the law cannot cause me to graduate from this nature. The more the law tells me to do it, the more I want it, the more I cannot do it. When thou shalt not, my nature rises. That's what Paul says. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things I do, I don't want to do. Things I don't want to do, I find out I'm doing. It's no I to do it, but sin's dwelling in me. Blessed is the man who God does not impute the sin. What he's talking about is he didn't count the fallen nature against them. Because they were looking in a dispensation of ours when we're born again, God takes the fallen nature out, puts the righteous nature in. They were looking at that. They said, though I wear this inherited from Adam, I see this realm to come of righteousness by faith, to be found in him, not having our own works of righteousness, but found in his righteousness. And they were looking at it, prophesying into, and the Bible says God accounted the righteousness to Abraham. He accounted it to David. Both of them received something that didn't belong to them. The righteousness you're looking at, I account it to you. What? What do you mean you account it to me? Yeah, I account it to you because you know someone's coming to pay the price. I'm going to let you live in a post-cross righteousness where you are right now. I'm going to let you live, and I'm not going to count the fallen nature against you. I'm going to count the righteousness that is to come. The dispensations that come is yours now. Isn't that awesome? What they do? Reach past. Pulled it in. Reached in. Pulled it in. See it? Accounted the righteousness, our dispensation. Isn't that glorious? If all these guys could reach in to what we in, we can reach in to what we're going to be in soon. Amen? Those guys reached 1,000 years in front. God's just saying, can you reach a year in front? I don't know how far it is. Doesn't matter. Reach. Say reach. Look at your neighbor. Say reach. Reach. Say reach. Reach into the transfiguration. Reach into the glory of him that is to come. Reach into the majestic glory. Reach at your faith. Reach into the crown. Reach into what you're seeing. Reach into the dispensation you're seeing. Reach into the running of the white horse. Reach into the crowning, the house of Judah and the house of Joseph. Reach into the majestic glory of Christ. Reach into him that is to come. Reach into the Omega jurisdiction. Reach into those things that are yet to come. Reach in. Come in. Step in. I set before you an open door. An open door. I open to you the messengers to come in. I open the door to the forerunner crown. I open the door to the forerunner glory, the majestic glory, the crowning glory that no operation of mammon can stand against, that no power in the earth can stand against. The crowning reigning of the kings and priests that will reign into the earth. Reach in, step in, step in, step in to the majestic glory. Step in to the grace. Step in to the glory of him that is to come. I will that you be with me where I am in him that is to come. Where I am in your next generation, in your next dispensation, and receive the crown. Receive the forerunner crown. Receive the 7 days of dominion. Receive the glory of those things that are to come. Receive. Pray in the presence of him that is to come. Pray in the glory of him that is to come. The Father that seeth you in the realm that is to come will reward you openly in your jurisdiction. The Father that seeth you in the dispensation that is to come will reward you in your dispensation. For if you receive of the dispensation that is to come, you receive a power, a glory, and a dominion that's not in yours, but belongs to you, the heirs of the Most High God. I set before you an open door to the crown, to come through the veil, to receive. You've had little strength, but you've kept my word. They that are Jews that are not, that serve the synagogue of Satan, their system will surely bow at the coming crown. Father, grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the understanding of Christ, the Omega, Christ that is to come, the majestic glory. Grant us the grace for this final journey through the veil, Father. Grant us the grace that Canaanite woman could go through, we can go through. If Peter, James, and John could go through, we can go through. If Christ could go through his own cross before it ever happened, we can go through. Christ could receive a post-cross glory before he ever paid for it. We can receive his joint heirs, Father. Amen. Glory to God.
By the way, Peter was fishing. He was a fisherman. And 3 years later, he's taken into glory. So for us, there's plenty of hope. But what I was going to say is, in the style of our own pastor, Revelation chapter 3, comes before Revelation chapter 4. And in chapter 3, where he's speaking to the church of Philadelphia, he says that he opens a door that no man can shut. And we understand it's the government of God because he says, I hold the key of David. But what's awesome is that he says, you've kept my word, and what have we been doing? mean, we're saying the same things over and over, but we've been keeping his word. He's given us all this revelation. We've been keeping his word, his promises. I hold the key that's going to open that door. And he says, and I open it before you. He says, behold, I open the door. And then chapter 4, John was taken through a door and shown the scene in heaven. So our faith could reach into that place. And I believe that's also, as I was listening to Pastor, I believe that's also part of the commissioning, because if we are witnesses of him receiving that crown, then we ourselves are receiving that crown, because he's doing it all in our stead. So it's awesome. Like, the door's already open. It's our faith that needs to access it. Because if John, behold, a door was open for John, how much more for us? We've been keeping his word. We are that church that's being referenced in the book of Revelation. So awesome.
Thank you, Father.